You might like to turn in your Bible over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And seeking to exercise our heart in the light of everything, things are happening so fast. 33 things were executive order things. So you couldn't, whole point. If I did one thing, you could go after it. But if I do 40 things, you don't know where to start. If I make 40 things wrong at once, where do you begin? Where do you begin? You can't finish anything. You almost start this, have to do that. And you don't answer anything. Smart. Now, therefore, in the light of that, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you recall David, and we've been looking at David now for some time in the light of his journey in the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness. And David ended up going to the Philistines because the Israelites were. He was having his problems, so he ended up going over to the Philistines for a while in Ziklag. And in the process, the Philistines are going to go to war with Israel. And so as you read in chapter 29 and that, in verse 29, 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days of these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." In other words, the king says, I have no problem with him. But the Philistines do. So the Hebrews, David and his men, have to go back home to Ziklag because they cannot go to battle against Israel, and God in his grace did all that. Now, but God is going to help them because David was wrong in doing that. So God is going to help David and his men. So when they go back to Ziklag, back there, Amalek has come along and came into this, burned the whole city where they were, took all the captives captive, and in God's kindness, what he does, he gets this message very clearly, simply, to the extent he needs to. And in the process of taking all of the women and children and that, and he did that, and he carried them away, very small and great, in chapter 30, verse 2, etc. And he didn't kill one of them. Not one person that they took captive, the Amalekites, was killed. God didn't let any of them die. And they took him, burned the city, took everyone. Now, so David and his men come back, as you remember. And David and his men come back to the city, and the city's smoke and everyone's gone, and they have nothing. Therefore, we come down to verse 5. And David, it's verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So the reason we're going to look at that, because David is in trouble, and David comes back and he finds trouble. And there's trouble, 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 trouble. So no matter where he looks, there's trouble. So where do you go? Trouble over here, trouble over there. I look at my men, I look at the burnt city, I look at family, children, goods, everything's taken. Wow. Well, there's nowhere to look to see anything, to find it. I'm all over the place, like I just used the illustration of our country. And in the process of that, so David is greatly distressed in the process. Now, in looking at that and trying to get the benefit, because after all, David is our leader in the sense of he's walking in the valley of shadow of death. He doesn't fear evil because God is with him. And so, David, how did you ever learn these wonderful truths of Psalm 23? Well, I went through the College of Hard Knocks to learn them. Now, so here's David, greatly distressed. And the word distress means to be straitened, to be narrow, to be enclosed, to be fenced in, to be surrounded, coming together and surrounding, encompassing the city, encompassing, surrounding you, pressing in on all sides, as it were. So you have no freedom of movement. You don't know where to go, which way to turn. That's the word. And it has to do with physically distressed and mentally distressed. Now, so in the process, here's David. Now, in order to get that part of it, so we get the distress part. And over, if you were to Numbers in chapter 33. And here's David, an Israelite, and here's Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 33, you remember, God gives the wonderful little section in chapter 33, picking up if I can, in verse 51. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan, they haven't gone over yet, into the land of Canaan, when you get there, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from for you and destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, etc. In other words, you're going to go, and without reading all of that, getting it, they need to possess by dispossessing. They need to get rid of all the idolatry and all the idolaters. That's what they had to do completely. Now, if they did that, then they would have been, but they didn't do that. But if they did, and God says, if you don't get rid of them, keep going, chapter 33, and sliding over if I can, in verse 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain, in other words, you don't get rid of them, remain, shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and shall be vexed, there's a word, distress, twisted, surrounded, encompassed, caught up, shall be vexed and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. So if you don't get rid of them, it's going to be a vexing, distressing, surrounded every which way, encompassed, enclosed, having little freedom, if any. That's what you're going to have if you don't get rid of them. And they did. Ended up going to captivity. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in the light of that, they aren't going to do that. So go with me over to, all the way over to, they aren't going to drive them out. They aren't going to do it, and they're going to be troubled. There's no question about that. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember they're going to cross the Jordan now. This is after Numbers. You're going to cross the Jordan. And chapter 4, picking up please, in verse 26. God said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall utterly be destroyed. Now that they haven't crossed the Jordan. and they haven't got 7 years of winning, conquering 33 kings in the north and south of Palestine. God said, once you get through, you guys are going to not last. You're going to live 50 years. No, you may live 10 years. You aren't going to make it. You're going to do, and you're going to have, but you can't keep it. They already were warned. They haven't even crossed the Jordan. They're already told they aren't going to make it because they're told, they're warned. Now, sliding down if I can, and verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you, etc. And they shall serve other gods, in verse 28, verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So always that's there if you're going to seek God. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, see the word tribulation, that's the word distress. David was greatly distressed, in tribulation, surrounded all over, encompassed, no freedom. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, going away into the tribulation, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, thou shalt be obedient unto his voice. Verse 31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which he sware unto them. So what do you got? You got a warning. They aren't going to make it, and there's going to be tribulation. So you already are warned of tribulation, and we're looking for it to happen. Israel should turn to God. No, it has to be tribulation, which is why all this is taking place in our system, in the nations of the world. All of it is in upheaval for good, for God's glory, ultimately. Now, having said that little bit, so now that's the word distress, to be surrounded. Now do it a different way then. Let's make it personal. That's the nation. And the nation is going to be greatly distressed. Tribulation is going to be one awesome thing. Now, over to Jonah. And in Jonah, picking up if I can, Jonah chapter 2. And in Jonah chapter 2, here's a personal way to see it, distressed. David is in great distress personally. Here's another gentleman in great distress called Jonah. And you remember now, in his seeking to run away from Nineveh, God sends him back by way of getting him off the ship into the great fish's belly, a great whale's belly, and thus you have his Jonah inside the whale, the great fish's belly, and said, chapter 2, verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction, there it is, my distress, unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, Hades. That's what Jonah, as far as Jonah was concerned, in that fish's belly, this must be the end. Hades, hell. Hell cried, I, and thou heardest my voice. So, you want to know what that is? Distress? Think of being inside a great fish's belly, great blue whale or something, and go get in there and figure there's no way out. There's nowhere to go. And God, you can keep them, there's no question. God made the fish. God did it. Wow. No question. But you're greatly distressed because there's no way to get out. No way distressed. Where am I going to go? In the whale's belly. Nowhere. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, David, you don't have to turn there. David's going to go And David's going to go, and he's greatly distressed. Maybe you better go back. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David, greatly distressed, shut up, enclosed. So we have a little sense of what that is, a little understanding of it. Pressed together, troubled, etc. Why is he troubled? Because the men are all upset, understandably, with him. They didn't want to fight Israel anyway, I'm sure. And in the process, they want to stone him. That's the first thing. And what's the second thing? Second thing that gets them all distressed is the bitterness. The bitterness, and that's the word you pick up in verse 6. And the people spake of stoning him because of the soul of the people was grieved. The word grieve is bitterness. Bitterness. They're bitter. Bitter. Hang on to that. Because why do we get bitter? People get bitter. And in the process, being bitter like that, then why? And so in the process, the soul, bitter. To be cutting, piercing, cutting, stinging, biting, all the words that help. The taste, spoken of taste, a harsh taste, etc. Bitter taste, bitter herbs. And so violently and to be wounded, spiritual, mentally, violent, straightly, excited, wounded, all upset. Grief, feeling great grief, which is what it translated here. Now, in the process, you know, without turning there, in Exodus 1, and you remember, Israel, how did God help Israel? Now, they had a pretty good time for a while when Joseph was alive, and they had a plush, wonderful setting down there on the end of the Nile River into the Mediterranean Sea. They had a wonderful plush time while Joseph is alive, but Joseph dies, and then nothing's the same anymore. They lost the man holding the fort, and therefore the fort's being taken. And what happened? Pharaoh came in, I should say, and what did he do? The Israel was in bitter bondage. That's how they lived. It was one thing to be in Goshen when things are nice. It was another thing to be in the land when things are bitter and they're making bricks and with no mortar and making everything that's like with the oil. You can't have any more oil and no more fracking or whatever you do. You can't have any more, no more fuel. What you're going to do is get a big fan outside and try to pull the sun in, you know, and see if you can stay warm. I'm just kidding. I hope. I hope. That's it. Anyway, now, so here we are looking, and the Israelites are going to go, and they're bitter. They're bitter, understandably. Therefore, Exodus, we should, the Israelites started out bitter, and in the process of being bitter and all of that kind of comes along, and then we come, if we can, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus, you'll remember it, Exodus chapter 15. When they crossed the Red Sea, I should say, you're going to recall as they crossed, and crossing the Red Sea, they're going to go, and God, what does he do? God has to teach them right off. He has to instruct them. Otherwise, they aren't going to do well in a land that isn't possible to maintain, sustain them. No water, no food, heat, cold, nothing, rocks, nothing. Wow. nothing. Well, that's, you got God, you got to help them because you're going to shepherd them. Now, so therefore, in Exodus chapter 15, you'll remember, God, we did that. And here's a little word. Exodus chapter 15, picking up if I can, in verse 22. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitterness. Now that's what they had to do. And you remember the illustration and what God tells. They murmured. They murmured, verse 24. And they murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink, etc. And God made them take a tree, and to test them, and throw the tree into the water. When they threw the tree into the water, it became sweet. God, you got to do it. What are you going to do? How am I going to handle bitterness? Hang on. How am I going to handle it? Well, God said, listen, you're going to have to look to me to do it. Life is one journey, one incident after another. The happy incident is counted by the bitter one. The easy counted by the hard. The much counted by the little. So, having said that, God, you're helping them understand. They've got to look to you to survive the wilderness properly. Now, in the process of that, and God told them that they had to go and be of good courage, and the 12 spies went up to take the land. Of course, they weren't of good courage, and they came back, and in their unbelief, they ended up staying there all that time. Now, having said that little bit, Now go personally. That's Israel. Now go from a group, personally, bitter, 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 bitter. Now to a person, over if you would. Again, to Ruth and chapter 1. And in Ruth chapter 1, picking up please in thought, and you will note, remember Ruth is going back. She left Israel. Well, she went out of the land in order because there was famine, there was hard things. And instead of staying there in Bethlehem, etc., instead of staying there, she ran and got out of the country, as it were. And when she did, she ended up, her two sons die. And they get married to Moabites, and the two sons die, and she has one left that will stay with her. That's Ruth. Now, in her that's a personal thing. She's out of everything. She has to go back to Israel, which she left, and she's going back without her sons and with a wife that isn't even the same position as it were at the time. Now, so here we are looking at Ruth chapter 1 and picking up, if I may, in verse 20. And she said unto them, to her daughters-in-law, she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. He's dealt bitterly with me. No, that isn't true, Ruth. That isn't true. You went and you left Bethlehem and you reaped. You didn't trust God. And now you're going back, a bitter person, a bitter woman, going back. Now, that's a personal thing. Now, in the process of that, get that in order over to Isaiah 5 again. Isaiah 5, a standard explanation for many, many, many ways of looking at life. And here's Isaiah chapter 5, and picking up if I can, in chapter 5, you'll catch it, over to, for time's sake, verse 20. Now, here's all the woes, and you remember this one probably. You memorized it, maybe. Verse 20, 5 and 20 of Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. We've done all that. And that put darkness for light, and light for darkness. We've done that, up and down, up and down. Now, the third one, here we are, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. How are we going to handle? What about life? Wages of sin is death. What do we know if we're going to sum up human life? Sin, sorrow, suffering. That's life. Sin and sorrow and suffering. In the meantime, what do we do? Since we can't change that, we're going to go and make the best of it. That's what we're going to do. In the light of sin, sorrow, and suffering, and all that, I'm going to adjust. And the sin, are we going to look at sin as it is? The wages of sin is death. We have none right, no righteousness, not one. Are we going to do that? No, sir. Are we going to look at sin? No. Sorrow, we are, but we're going to manage it and maneuver around it in order to be, because we can't be sorrowful in the light of our lot and our condition. And suffering, all sufferings are there, and the whole object is to make sure that you go and try to find a measure of pleasure, et cetera, in order to survive. Did we fix anything? No, we didn't fix it. We called bitter sweet and sweet bitter, and that's how we live with it. Otherwise, the realities of life are there, but we don't want to look at them as they are, and they really are there. They're really there. Death, evil, wow. All of it's there. All of it's there and manifesting itself in an awesome way to awaken the heart of many, I hope. Now, in the process, so here they are, going to call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. That's what we're going to do. And in the process of that, we're going to go. Now, God, it was back to the tribulation, jumping into it. If you went to Zechariah, remember that, you don't have to do it, chapter 12 and that. And if you went there, what are you going to do? God, when you come, what's Israel going to do? Here's every eye shall see him. And here's the Israelites, among others, the rest of us humans. And here's Israel, here they are. And what are they going to do? They're going to awaken to the fact that they crucified him. And they're going to go as if they had lost their firstborn son. And they're going to go and they look, go in the house and shut the door. And they are bitter that they have done this. That they have done this. A bitterness. Not a joy, a bitterness. That's what they're going to have. God's going to allow that. Why? Because you've called sweet bitter and bitter sweet, and you've changed everything. So there's going to be bitterness, bitterness. And therefore, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, one other place where we do that, looking, I want to get bitter, then we'll get the next part of it, distressed. And what does that do? That creates bitterness because we can't fix anything. We try to fix things, but then the next thing's breaking over here where you fix this one. And it's awful hard to catch up. And the system isn't going to let us catch up. That's the whole point. Keep it going, 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 going. You can't catch up. And when you try to catch up, it's too late. Because you can't fix anything. You can't fix anything. I'm going to do that. Now, so in the process, here's Hebrews. Hebrews, if I can, as you would call, chapter 12, and you would recall our little word, bitterness. And you'll pick up, please, great chapter on God's discipline. Remember, if I can, over in verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with the sons. But for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards, illegitimate children, and not sons. Wow. Now, God says, I love you, and they're going to go through it. Well, then I got to go through it. That's what Israel had to do. That's what Ruth had to do, etc. That's what Jonah had to do. So, now in that whole section, sliding up quickly, if I can, to verse 15, looking diligently, 15, 12 and 15. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, there's your little word, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So bitterness is very catchy. You had the illustrations. Here's the table. There's 10 of us eating at the table. 10 of us all eating a wonderful something dinner. And we have a big dinner, looking at dinner, and one of us is very, very bitter at the table. Do you think that'll spread? Do all the 9 of us know when someone's bitter? It's coming out. Hand me the peas, and they shoot the peas back at you. You know, no. Bitterness, a root. Bitterness is deadly. Deadly. And people get bitter about things. God, that's where we are. That's how, but we aren't bitter about everything because we don't want to look at everything clearly as it really is in the light of the darkness, it's fine. But in the light, everything isn't fine. As long as we turn out the lights, we can live in darkness quite comfortably, sin, sorrow, and suffering, and play bitter to sweet, sweet to bitter, and play the game. But in the light, you can't do that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, to 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 30. And picking up, if I may, in thought. And you will know, please, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Why? Because the soul of all the people was grieved, very much bitter. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now, David, what are you going to do? You're surrounded by things that are your own act, being with the Philistines, and all the rest of it, burnt out city and all the everything. It's all, you're surrounded by it. Now, what are you going to do as it all comes in? David's going to go and encourage himself. And the word encourage is reflexive. That means he's going to do it himself. It isn't, no one does it for him. The word is reflexive. You do it yourself. It's something you do. Okay. And so David encouraged himself. That's what he was doing. And the word encouragement intends to bind firmly together, to fasten together, to twist together, to twist and tie tight, twist and tie tight. And that's what you're going to do. And you're going to make it so it's bound fast. You've got to wrap it around fast. So, in order to help you see that a little bit, maybe, if I can, now, what are you going to do, David? David was encouraged. He was encouraged. And in the process, he bound himself, wrapped himself around God. That's what he did. He wrapped himself around God. and everything that was he looked at, Philistines, the men, the burnt city, and everything all around, it's all not good. But what did David do? He took it and wrapped it around God. So I took, here's a Bible. Now, what did David do? David went and he took everything. And as I just fumble through this, you think of the things in your life that you have a problem with. And what, you aren't going to tie tight, but make believe. I'm going to pull this tight. Wow. Now, that's one thing in his life. Here's another thing. What are you going to do? You're going to go and wrap it around. Tight. You can't see it all. Another thing. I'm going to take everything. I'm going to leave nothing out. Everything I'm going to bring to God and make sure it's wrapped around him. Wrapped around him. I'm leaving nothing out that can get me. I'm going to make sure everything is totally wrapped up and tied to God. That's what I'm going to do. And if you want to get me in distress and surround me with your enemy, by the way, if you took time, in Psalm 23, verse 5, you'll remember, thou preparest a table before me in the what? In the presence of mine enemies. The word enemies is the word distress, to be surrounded by the enemy, surrounded. What are you going to do, David? David said, I learned. How did you learn Psalm 23:5? I went through the college of hard knocks. I went through it, and I learned it. And each thing in my life came along, and I wrapped everything tightly around God. So if you want to get me, you're going to have to come to God, because I got nothing loose. Everything's tied up tight. Tight, tense and tight, that everything can come out right. God, that's what you're doing. So God, that's what he did. Tense and tight. I hope that helps you a bit. That's what you do. Everything you can think of, you put it around God. Tight. That means not loose. Not like this. Not like something that's loose. Not like that. No. Tight. Around God. Now, but just to see that, just a little bit to see it, go with me, please, over to where? Easiest, Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, picking up, please. And you recall, it's the word you're going to see, to be wrapped around tight. What does it mean if it's wrapped around tight? If you take the package and tie it up tight and right, it isn't going to come loose. It isn't going to come loose. You're going to have to cut it or something because it's tight. Now, so it means it's strong. So therefore, Joshua and verse 6, be strong. There it is. And of good courage. Verse 7, be strong, there it is, and of very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong, there it is, and of good courage. Verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment of, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest of him, he shall be put to death. Only in doing everything right, making it come out right, make sure you're always strong. Make sure you're wrapping everything around God. Otherwise, it's floating up here. Floating. And it can get wrapped around anything. Get wrapped around the politics, wrapped around your job, wrapped around your health, wrapped around anything. It's loose. And then you take it. If you kept doing that, you get your whole life like this. Then you wonder why. Why don't I ever grow and know? Because you're all over the place, not you guys. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over if I can. Picking up, please, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 19. Illustration. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, if I can, you remember the being attacked, and Joab, one of the generals, and Abshi, the other general, the brothers, and in the process of verse 10, 19:10, 1 Chronicles. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hands of Abishai and his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, I will help you. Verse 12, 13, I should say. Be of good courage and behave yourselves valiantly. There's the word. Be encouraged. Be valiant. Be strong. Be strong. Be valiant. In other words, this guy's over here. Here comes the enemy on both ends. And this, we're going to do that. We'll try to fight him off. How are we going to do it? We're going to be valiant. We're going to be strong, looking to God. That's right. They looked to God, and they won the battle. That's what they got to do. It isn't an easy. It could have been a singular battle. They're coming in both directions. No, they got to look to God, and God's going to help them. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, please, to Psalm 18. David, help us some more. In Psalm 18, and you will note, please, here's David, here's a little word, to be encouraged, to be tense and tight, tying everything, come out, to make it come out right, so you can't get loose. And David, we're going to say it. Well, he does. Verse 1, 18, 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the one I'm wrapped around. Wrap around, tense and tight. God, you're the one I'm wrapped around. You're my strength. Strong. I'm able to do it. I'm not get loose hanging out in the air. No, I'm wrapped around God. Wrapped around God in the most wonderful way. I take everything and wrap it around God. Otherwise, I'll take 10 things in my life and leave 2 out. Well, the 2 can ruin the 10. Because the 2 will get you. And once you start wandering with the mind and playing with the 1, I'm trusting God in everything but. That's the but. And then you're in trouble. Because you open the door. What do we read in Numbers 33? Make sure you get all of the idolatrous and all of the idolatry. If any of it's left, it's going to come back and bite you. That's what's going to happen. So why could I live? I live halfway. Well, there's no such thing as a halfway spiritual. You're either in or out. You're either with it or not. Either the light's on or off. It's easy. You got a light switch? It's either on or off. There's no middle. Now, you can try it. Not the part that you can adjust. Restart. No. Off and on. Try to get it. You can. Either get one or the other. One or the other. That's what you have to do. There's no middle. But the other, no, you can't be. The Lord Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. I don't want lukewarm. I hate it. I hate it. I'd rather have you with me or against me. That's what I want. That's real. Otherwise, you're living in a make-believe that isn't real. And you can't get any answers in make-believe. Make-believe has no reality to it. Make-believe has no solutions. So now, over if we can in the light of that, Psalm 18, while you're here, Psalm 27. Just to pick up and show you David. David, that's how he learned. How did he learn to, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou preparest a table before me with everything that's surrounding me. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged no matter what they do, because I'm in the light and I'm right with God, looking God. So here's Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, going verse 14. 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Yea, I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And here's the word, good courage this time. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. So what are we going to do? We're going to wrap ourselves around God. Well, good courage. What's good courage? It's wrapping yourself around, tense and tight, so that you can't have loose ends. You're wrapped around God. Now, God is a pay to wrap around you. That's the question. Therefore, over, if you would please, to Chronicles. Second Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. And you will note, please, 2 Chronicles in chapter 16, if I may. I'm going to pick up a little bit, if I can, in verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, wrap yourself around God, as it were, he delivered them into thy hand. Verse 9. For, why did he do that? Because, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God, here we are. God, there's no one, you're not seeing anybody anywhere in the middle of the mountains, the valley, the river, the island, it wouldn't make any difference. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, there's your word, reflexive, to show yourself strong. Is that what you're going to do, God? I am. What are you going to do? I'm going to show myself strong. That's what I do. I want you to wrap yourself around me tight. Tight as it were, around me tight. And I'm going to show myself strong. You aren't strong. You aren't. But what you're wrapped around is God. And God said, I'll be strong. That's why you're strong. David, did you understand that? He said, I learned it. I learned it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I learned it, even in my enemies. My enemies can't get me. I wrap myself around God. And that's how David walked. He did it. Now, so therefore, verse 9 again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, reflexive, on behalf of them whose heart is perfect, complete towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now, you could have fixed things, but you didn't want to. No, you didn't want to do that. So therefore, Asa, you're going to have trouble. You were trusting me, and then you decided not to trust me. Now what? One time you're wrapped around me, that's very good. The next time, you aren't. That's very bad. You're going to reap it, wars. That's what you're going to have. You had your pick. That's what you picked. Wow. Now, God, so here we are. A simple thing. God, what am I going to do? I got 1,000 things that keep coming up all over the place. All over the place. More than you can handle. If you're even conscious of things, you'd have to understand. it's like a great snowball coming at you. Wow. God, what are you going to do? Each thing, wrap yourself around God so that you're trusting God. In it, don't, and everything you can come up to in your little head and heart, wrap it around God before it gets you. Wrap it around God and keep everything wrapped around God. David encouraged his heart. He himself did it. It isn't going to happen. No one's going to do it for you. You have to do it all by your lonesome. You choose to wrap yourself around God tightly, or you don't. You can do loose, but then it's loose. When do you know the effect? When it's tight. That's when you know.